Hey everyone, I am Stephanie Goss, and this is another episode of the Uncharted Podcast. This week on the podcast, I have the pleasure of being joined by my dear friend, Bill Schroeder. We recently were having some conversation in our Uncharted community about how some of our members' practice schedules seem to be slowing down. And for some of them, visits have really kind of slowed down and dropped off. And we know that we're seeing that across the veterinary space. There's been some studies recently by AVMA and looking at the economics of practice. We know things are slowing down and some people are starting to feel that squeeze and panic. And so Bill and I had a conversation about what are some of those things that practices should be doing at all times to keep clients coming in the door, whether we've got clients coming out our ears or whether we are in a position where it is really slow and we're really consciously thinking about our marketing efforts for the first time, probably since COVID hit. So I asked Bill to come join me to have that conversation here with all of you. And I asked him to bring his top three tips for you all, and he brought it and then some. So let's get into this.
And now, the Uncharted Podcast.
And we are back. I, Stephanie Goss, am here with my dear friend, not Dr. Andy Rourke, but in fact, I am here with Bill Schroeder. And for those of you who don't have the pleasure of knowing Bill, he is funny, he is fun, he is kind, he throws an amazing party, but none of that has to do with what he does for business. Bill owns In Touch Practice Communications, which is a full-service digital marketing agency that is built specific for the veterinary community. They love to focus on, you know, empowering and driving business for their clients, empowering their clients to take control of their own digital presence. Bill has a genius brain, I think, when it comes to these things. He has spoken at Uncharted Veterinary Conference. You may have seen him heard him present at conferences all over the world. And he is just a ball of fun. And so I was really excited to have him here with me. We've had some conversation in the Uncharted community recently about a topic that I know is near and dear to Bill's heart. And so I said, hey, Bill, you want to come do a podcast with me? And he said, sure, I would love to.
Yeah. And thank you, Stephanie. I really appreciate the kind words. It's really fun to be here. And I can't believe that I'm knocking on the door of 30 years and, you know, of doing this. I want to thank the whole community for making this my home. And it's like, it's really great. And it's a pleasure to be here. And I guess while I'm thanking you, I want to thank you for what happens when you get scheduled to do a podcast like this, right? It's like the hygiene things that happen, like look at this desk.
Bill's desktop
whiteboard.
It's
the whiteboard back
cleaned.
There does not look like, you know, a Madden like play.
With scribbles written all over it.
I was able to dust all my pictures, although you can't see the pictures that I keep
of Andy's
on
face.
My desk. I was able to get them all clean. So in case you were able to see them.
We're never going to fit his head through the door once he finds out that Bill has a picture of him on his desk.
Well, we're not going to. I'm just going to put it where it normally resides so that we can always let him know that I'm thinking about him. So anyways, it's a pleasure to be here. And yeah, I'm so glad that you've offered me this platform to kind of help, because it's really a topic that is quite serious right now. You know, we're coming out of this unknown time, which is that COVID bubble that we all scrambled around.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It was this period of time where we didn't know what to do. We had to incorporate all of these new things like curbside and, you know, running, you know, and isolating staff and all of those changes to our operations. And a lot of people were so busy that they stopped focusing on what is important. And that's growing the business, whether it be through existing clients and making certain that they understand all the opportunities. And we'll speak to that in a little bit here. But also growing because, I mean, we're all human, right? It became one of those situations where, quite frankly, it was easy to make certain that your appointment book is full, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. And I wish I had the answer for exactly what's going to happen next or exactly what to do right now from a data standpoint. And I'm
right.
I love the data. I know what to do from, I know what's working for our existing clients.
Right.
But anyone that says, here's the formula for a time exactly like right now, I would kind of run away from that person
right.
just because of the fact that we've never been here before.
Right, exactly. I was going to say, I don't think there has been a time like right now. And who knows whether there will ever be the exact same circumstances in the future, for sure. It's kind of weird. It's that post feels like that in a way that, you know, kind of post apocalyptic. We did this whole thing. We created this whole new world. And then just as quickly as we adapted when COVID hit, now things have changed. And I think it's happened slower. And I think that has given practices more time to adapt, but it has still changed dramatically.
It has. And, you know, there's some scary stuff that's going on out there. And, you know, one of the things that everyone needs to be aware of is that we've built these, well, internally at the agency, we've built these systems that allow us to monitor what's going on, like real time out there within the market. We're
right.
utilizing our client experience, the data that we are tracking, and then listening posts that we have out there in the real world that are telling us what's actually happening. And the one thing before I get into like the tips and the things that you need to be doing, you need to realize that the intent, head owners are the intent is down to the point that we have seen things in markets where we're talking year over year comparison for search volume or searches for topics that are driving business within practices in a local market. We're seeing individual markets be down as much as 40%.
Wow.
So when I talk, and very specifically, to be very clear, it's like when we look at how many times very valuable search terms are being used within a market, sometimes we're seeing that year over year, like, or especially year over during COVID period of time, we're seeing 40% drops in the actual searches. People are busy. They're back
right.
at work. They're not, they no longer have the availability to take their pets out, and they've take their pets to the practice, you know, like they could during COVID. And to be very frank, in many instances, they've checked that box.
Mm-hmm.
They've done it. The people that hadn't done it in years and aren't the incredibly compliant, they're like, oh,
right.
I did that. You know,
right.
I did that. You know, I took them into the practice, right?
I'm good for another 3 or 4 years.
Unfortunately, we're seeing some of that. So the problem, and I just had this conversation yesterday where I was called in with one of my teams where we had a client who was looking at Google Ads and they were looking at their performance right now. And then comparing it to 2 years ago and saying, wait, something's broken. And I'm talking about the fact that they're about 7 points up on you know, the average practice out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not satisfied with that, right?
Yeah.
Well, there are markets that are 40% down. So 7% up, you're like, you're
right.
killing it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So the heart of what I want to talk about today, you and I were talking about the fact that there has been, which I think is a good thing. There's started to be a lot of conversation in our Uncharted community. I've seen it in the other manager groups that I'm in, VHMA, the management books groups on Facebook, where people are starting to experience a drop-off in appointments. And a lot of people were scrambling for staff and for doctors during COVID, and business was crazy. And we all know, I mean, how many podcasts did Andy and I do about the fact that everybody had clients coming out their ears and everybody was struggling to keep up with the client volume because there weren't enough hours in the day, there weren't enough team members. And I think for some people that is still true. There are certain areas of veterinary medicine where it is still overwhelming and a lot of people are starting to experience significant drop-offs. So clinics that had been booked 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks out. Now we're like, we're only booked a week out and we've got same day openings again. And I think the biggest thing for a lot of managers that hit was we had to really shift our mindset when COVID happened, where as a manager, there's a fine line that you want to teach the team to walk between having enough space as a GP practice to have clients be able to be seen quickly and not gatekeeping too many appointments on the books, where then you have the team standing around if sick pets don't happen to come in that day, right? And so we, over the years, kind of learned to excel at that, walking that line. And then COVID hit and it was like everybody who kept to that line was drowning because there was nowhere to put the clients that had sick pets that needed to come in. So we all shifted that workflow and everybody started holding more same day appointments, creating spaces to take emergencies, all of that kind of stuff. So we shifted the whole workflow. And now that the schedules have changed and appointments have dropped off and everybody's like, oh, I have all these openings and I can't fill them. And so I'm starting to hear conversation amongst my friends and colleagues who are saying, okay, I'm going to admit this. I stopped trying to get new clients. I stopped focusing on marketing. I stopped running Google ads. I didn't care about updating the website except for when we got new team members, because the whole point for a lot of us who just are doing the everyday job was all of the marketing tools, all of the communication tools, it either was to get new clients or to make our lives easier dealing with the existing clients that we had. And it felt like for most of us, unless you were a startup or a new practice trying to get clients in the door, we stopped thinking about new clients. And so now there's all these practices who are like, how do I go back to getting clients coming in the door? And so I asked Bill to come and talk today about, I said, Bill, you are so smart and you have all of these ideas. And I always love talking to you because I get so excited for the possibilities in practice when we talk. And I said, can you come and talk to the top three things that you would suggest every practice should be doing to keep clients coming in the door?
And we did not practice this. And I promise you that everyone should see just how in tune we are here, because you're going to see. I certainly, okay. I put together the top three things that we're going to do. For those of you who are listening and not watching, I'm showing a hand of five.
Five things.
I cheated. We're going to do the top three things.
The top three to five things. Let's do it.
And that might stretch to five. But my point, and you're going to hear where I start, very planned, and I could show you my notes just to prove it, but I'll be less dramatic. I've been here before, right?
Yes.
And when the market as a whole or the economy is in a bad place, it's pressured, and we're talking about the cost of groceries, we're talking about the cost of gasoline,
yeah,
we're talking about, you know, the general economy not being good, we feel it in veterinary medicine. And
yes,
the AVMA came out with a study real recently, and I think that their number was 55% of our clients are saying that they define themselves as being transient. And I'm categorizing what they did. That's not word for word how it came in, but it's like 55% of your clients in practice would move. Okay. And when you combine that with how price sensitive the market is, I believe that there is an unfortunate opportunity for people to move from your practice to the next. So my very first tip is to capitalize on your same day availability and the trend that is in urgent care.
Okay.
Now, back, I mean, I've been in this game for, like I said, like 30 years, and we've gone through these trends, right? And when we're really busy, you hear practices speak about, well, let's charge a same day appointment fee, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
Like, if you're in that position, you can always be in that position. You're probably not tuned in right now because you're busting at the seams and,
right,
you know, keeping the door swinging is not something that's a concern to you. Congratulations. However, I am routinely speaking to practices that used to book up 3 weeks in advance.
Right.
And they don't know what they're going to do at the end of the week.
Right.
Okay. So, and when you, we're seeing a massive trend in people finding practices that will be able to serve them, whether it be just because of their convenience or because of the urgent care system that they've got. So, because they have an urgent need, right?
Right.
So I, the balance is different. So I can't give you the formula here that is like reserve like three spots
right.
per,
right.
you know, FTE. I mean, I can't do that because it really depends upon your market. But to make certain that you and your team are capitalizing on that and they realize everyone from the CSR to whoever is handling your marketing needs to realize that this is important because what's happening is people, those people that are coming to you are the people that are the opportunity leaving. They're that 55% that we talked about that migrated from or trying to migrate from another practice.
Yeah.
So it's a two-edged sword. We've got to capitalize on that and realize that that's an opportunity for you. In order for you to capitalize on that, you need to make certain that you're marketing to that and that your team understands that same-day availability is not bad. Your practice is a business. And at the end of the day, we should be filling up as many of those appointments as possible and marketing to the opportunity that is an open time slot.
That makes sense to me. And I think that clients too are becoming, at least I can speak to my own personal experience, like in human healthcare, right? Like I probably even 5 years ago, it would not have occurred to me that there were choices other than your regular GP, right? And specialists, obviously, and the emergency room. Like those were your two options. You either were sick enough to go to the hospital or you waited and went and saw your GP. And on the human side, like the shift, and I will admit it, we have a great urgent care here locally. And I discovered it when I had a sick kid who I thought had strep. I couldn't get her in during COVID to the regular doctor. And so I said, okay, I'm going to try this place. They had an app I could book online. And I said, I'm going to go and I'm going to take her. And I don't really care about the experience because I just want to get seen. Right. And so I think experiencing that in our own lives on the human healthcare side has led clients to actively seek that as well. Right. In the veterinary space. And so I love that idea about capitalizing on it. And I think that there are a lot of practices who have always had that. You know, we have same day spaces, but you're talking about not only doing it, but marketing to the clients who are looking for it and also clients who might not know that you have it that are existing clients.
Right. Because urgent care really is having the availability to see someone right away. Right.
Right.
And it allows you then to kind of differentiate yourself. Like there's this thing. And when we talk to pet owners and we talk to clients about this, there's this thing that, and I'm sorry, ER people that are out there. I mean, but I think you know this, right? ER equals expensive. ER equals, it's going to be $1,000 when I walk through the door,
sure.
Right? And that's rightfully so, right? The ER yes. Practices are there to solve
specialty.
That problem.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a specialty place. But when you've got the GP and the ER and there's no, let's not talk about the finances between. Let's talk about pet care.
Right.
And there's not I don't have another finger to point. I'm going to use my nose. There's, oh, look what I'm doing right now. I can move this without moving my nose. There's a gap here that exists.
Right.
Right. That can be filled by just creating a space within your schedule to see that and then labeling it as an urgent care. And that allows you to capitalize on that transient client and see the pets. You know, regardless of the finance behind it, you know, because I think there's a huge amount, and I'm going to be frank, kind of fallen victim. I think I'm a really good pet owner, but it's been like, you know, I have schnauzers. So, you know, they have stomach issues, right? You know, you know, so you wind up going like, okay, this can wait till tomorrow. I've been down this road. Pancreatitis and I are very good friends, right?
Right.
Something that's never been said before, I think. If that's not a t-shirt, If you don't take the t-shirt, I'm taking.
Pancreatitis and I are friends. I own schnauzers. Yeah.
So, but when that's the case, you know, you wait, but I would absolutely capitalize on that if I knew my vet had availability. Okay.
Well,
so
and I think
can I move on to number two?
You can. I just want to say too, I think the flip side of that, you know, is that we automatically go to that, let's not upset the ERs, right? Because we do we want really want to take business away from them? And I will say that our local ER, so we my clinic here had been doing a prompt care model before COVID. Our sister hospital and ours, we had a doctor who was assigned every day to be able to just take those cases. Our ERs loved it because they were like, please take the ear infections, take the, you know, mild absent, take the stuff that we're seeing that we don't really need to or want to see. They want to see the cases that need their specialty training and skill set and pace of an ER. And so I think that there is some really beautiful relationship that can happen between practices that are offering urgent care. So when you're thinking about marketing, and I've had this conversation with colleagues, if you're doing urgent care or you have spaces that you're able to market as urgent care, market to the clients, your current clients, market to potential new clients, like you said, market to your ERs as a client as well, because if they know that you can do that, you can build your own backward referral. Like we think about ERs having us as clients as referrals. It works both ways.
Yeah, that's a really good point. If you remember during COVID, we had criticalists that were doing, you know, wellness.
Right. Yes.
I mean, you know, and that was because of it, you know, just, know, workload at the GP right. level and all that jazz. They're really aware that they don't want that type
right.
of work. So,
right.
yeah, but I really think that having your front, your CSRs and your current clients and the referring, the ER practice that you refer to understand what you need and want. Are really good first steps and celebrate that availability. Don't penalize people for making that transition in and tack that, you know, extra same day fee on there. Don't do it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Number two, okay. Focus on Google Business Profile. We call it GBP. It's the old Google My Business, right?
Okay.
Make certain that it's optimized. And that's for those who don't know, it used to be Google My Business, and in true Google fashion, they keep changing things so that there's something new to talk about, I guess.
Sure.
But it's now the GBP. Same ice cream, different, you know, label on it. It's the thing that is powered by your practice's location, the number and quality of Google reviews.
Okay.
And it is the Google Map section. We see the greatest amount of organic traffic come through there. So make certain that you've got all your images correctly, that your hours are correct, that you linked your website and all the opportunities. I could spend an entire hour go deep diving on this, but make certain that you optimize that and you continuously look for ways to make sure that it's up to date. Furthermore, and here's something that nobody's talking about. Did I cut you off, Steph?
No, I just was going to ask, when you say make sure that your pictures and stuff are updated, you're talking about actual pictures of life in the practice, not pictures of your building, right? Because I, like, as a consumer, when I pick up my iPhone and I go into my Apple Maps and I type in, like, what I'm kind of looking for, and I click on a business, I want to see, I don't care what the building looks like. I want to see what their food looks like, or I want to see what the environment looks like. That's what you're talking about, right?
You are so blowing my mind right now because you said something and you don't even realize what you just did. And I swear this was not practiced or anything, but okay. So first off, you need those building pictures to some degree. And I like building picture from street. And one of the reasons is because I believe, although I don't understand, you know, I'm not fluent in the algorithm. Nobody should be, right?
Sure.
That Google in particular has matched up the Google Street View with the things, and they can see what aligns based upon that. So That's necessary, but you shouldn't stop there. To your point, you should be able to reflect the culture, happy people, you know,
pets,
not surgeries, that cool tumor that you found that we all are like, wow, that's cool.
That giant splenic mass.
Yeah. Could you please send me pics, right? We like that. Pet owners don't. But the thing that you walked into, and I promise you, when I paused, this is exactly what I was going to say. Nobody's talking about this. Everybody talks about Google business profile, but nobody talks about Apple Maps. Now, I guess cat's out of the bag now, right? I mean, if more than one person watches this, we optimize Google Maps and we do really well because of it. Okay.
Yeah.
And no one else is, we're watching. People don't do it. Well, they're going to do it now. So, okay. Well, welcome to the party, everybody. But the thing that people don't realize is Apple Maps is driven, and so is Yahoo,
right,
is driven by Yelp reviews. So
yes,
go ahead and go into, right. So
yes,
go ahead.
I actually noticed that because when I Google a business, when I am an Apple user through and through. So I look at my maps and I click on the business, and that's the first thing I notice is what is the Yelp reviews that are there. And as a consumer, that's something that I look at.
Right. And so I do too, and a little bit of it is because my car has Apple CarPlay and it plays really nicely with Apple Maps rather than Google Maps.
Right.
So I wind up hanging out in that space, right?
Yes.
So for those of you who don't understand what we're talking about, go on your iPhone and then click on the maps, Google Maps, but Apple Maps. Yep. It'll just be called Maps on there. And then insert your practice name, right? To find it as if you're looking for directions. And then go into the profile there and look at the photos that are there, and you will find some photos that are powered by Yelp. And if it's not your practice, look at other businesses. It'll literally say that in the corner of the photo. Now, the reason that I bring this up is because we have this negative, I guess, stigma or stereotype, whatever we're going to say,
Yelp. Hate Yelp.
Yeah. But you got to play there, right?
Yes.
So the key is working and letting the Yelpers know that you are participating there and celebrate it so that you can rank really well there. So that's my second one. GBP, Google Business Profile, and Apple Maps need to be at top of their game because that's serving up and directly connecting with the local pet owners.
Okay.
Third.
I like that tip. Okay, third, number three.
Google Ads. You got to pay to play. The internet is, and I use this all the time. I've used this for a handful of years. It's like a piece of electrical conduit.
Okay.
And organic in particular is a piece of conduit that we have beaten to death. And it just like a piece of conduit, which is that pipe that holds electrical wire. The more wires you put through it, the more difficult it is to get that next wire from one end to the next. Right?
Right.
So you've got to build that very efficient side piece of conduit so your wire can more directly make its way through. Now, you said quite accurately, and I really appreciate this at the beginning of our talk here, that I like to empower people to do the things that I teach on their own. And I'm going to say that about 85% of the stuff that I talk about or I teach, and by the way, Uncharted, I'm going to be doing a workshop in Greenville, hint, hint, shameless plug, on building your practice. So I hope to see that. But you can leave one of my talks or my workshops empowered to do the things that I believe that you can do, which is a good percentage, 85 to 90%. I don't think you can do Google Ads. Not well, at least, unless you've been trained, unless you're continuously going through the things that, I've got a team of people that do it, and the amount of time that we carve out to train independently in the out, we literally have a consultant that we pay every Thursday to come in to the agency and teach our Google Ads people that do this every day, all day,
right.
the new things that happened that week.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So Google Ads is really important. The things that I get asked about are how much should I spend? I shrug my shoulders and I say, if you're spending less than $500 a month on the actual ad spend, you're probably not spending enough and you need to question the quality of the ad and such, because it should turn into something where you're wanting to spend more.
Right. And here's the thing. I think as a manager, this is what is so hard, because Google Ads has always been kind of, at least I'm just going to speak for myself as a manager, it was always confusing to me. It was this thing that I knew that I needed to do, but I didn't, to your point, I didn't know what I was doing. And even though I took some classes and I, like, you know, took some webinars, I watched your stuff, I looked at, you know, what you know, people like you, Eric Garcia, Caitlin DeWild, all these people are saying, hey, these are things that you should do. And at the time I was working with our friend Brandon Brashear, and I was like, Brandon, what do I, and he's like, yes, you have to do it. Okay. So I threw money at it and tried the thing. But I think as a manager, like, I love that you say this is a piece, it's okay that this is a piece that you outsource and that you throw money at, because I think a lot of us have this experience where we try it and we're like, I spent $300 on that and I got nothing back. That's the frustrating experience, because we don't know what we don't know. And so it feels like we're just throwing money up in the air and setting it on fire because we don't know what we're supposed to do with it. We think that there's supposed to be this return on it, but we don't have that knowledge. And so I will say that was a great relief to me to be able to say, oh, okay, this isn't something that I have to figure out how to do or have somebody in the practice who knows how to do. This is something that I can take to professionals and say, please help. And also get that kind of advice that is, this is what a realistic price and spend for your market should look like based on your particular market. And this is how you can make that money work for you. It's kind of like when you... I thought about it at the time, like working with a financial advisor, it was like, oh, all of these things that were really mysterious to me now are suddenly making sense.
Yeah. My lack of self-control is going to come through here, because I can't help but take a little bit of a deeper dive and kind of, you know, give some tips here around what I would do. And I'm going to rattle these off a little bit just so that you can take notes on them. And the first thing, if you're going to work with a firm, make sure that the firm is charging a flat fee and not a fee that is based upon your spend. If you charge a fee that is based upon your spend, there is no incentive for them to increase the number of conversions and decrease the cost per conversion. So it, whatever the flat fee is, if it's a good flat fee, that's what you should do, because exactly what I stated. Secondly, you should have a deep understanding of what a conversion actually is. And a conversion is taking someone from one state to the next, meaning they haven't called the practice, you need them to call the practice, or you need them to book an appointment, and then they actually book the appointment.
Right.
Now, here's where the details get a little bit fuzzy. People can call conversions whatever they want. And people, some firms, drive traffic based upon their definition of a conversion.
Okay.
And it makes things look crazy. Like, I literally just quoted a project against another firm in the veterinary industry, and they were claiming that they can drive conversions $4 a conversion. Well, okay. I told the doctor, I said, well, I guess if they can drive conversions at $4 a conversion, please tell me who they are, because I would like to then funnel all my work through them, because this is brilliant. And if you spend $500, that's what, 250 appointments that you should have, right? So if you can't tie those appointments back to a conversion, it's not really a conversion.
Right.
And what people do is they put garbage ads out there.
Right.
To... because I can make your phone ring for garbage. Right. I can make it ring, you know, for low cost things or for ambiguous things that will just tie up your front desk.
Sure.
But I'd rather use these numbers. I can make your phone ring for between like $12 and $15, but responsibly, I think that we should be talking between $40 and $50 to actually get an appointment through the door.
Sure.
Okay, so there's that.
Hey friends, you have heard Andy and I talk on the podcast about our Uncharted Leadership Essentials Certificate. And because you have, you know that we designed it with every member of the team in mind, because we believe that everybody on the team should have basic professional, personal business development skills in their toolbox to be able to help make a maximally effective, efficient, and excellent team. And so we are bringing you one more way to have access to our certificate. That's right. You can take it asynchronously. Our wonderful partners at NAVC are bringing it to you through Vetfolio. So if you want to take the certificate online, you can do that today. And if you are the kind of person who's like, I need my CE to be in person, or you have learners on your team who you think would do better going through it together in a group live, we've got you, because we are hitting the road. We are going to be live and in person in Atlanta, Georgia, May 5th and 6th. And we are going to jam pack 2 days full of the entire certificate program, but it's going to be live and in person. And we're going to do it Uncharted style, which means we're going to talk about your practices. And so if you have been thinking about, man, I would love to do the certificate, but I would love to do it in person, now's your chance. Head over to unchartedvet.com/on the road, ONTHEROAD, and you will find out all the information about this upcoming roadshow that is happening in Atlanta in May and future dates and locations. And now, back to the podcast.
The last thing that I want to say is that when you're doing call, when you're doing ads, you should always be using call tracking so that you can listen to the calls, which means that you can get a separate number that is specific for that ad and only available through the ad that allows you to then listen to the phone calls that come through.
Sure.
It's brilliant what happens. You can listen to your CSR, how they're receiving the ads, how they're receiving the traffic that comes through, and validate that the things that are coming through are actually the right type of traffic. So when you're doing that, you're operating responsibly, and that's what it takes to run a responsible campaign and a whole bunch of other really good creative and smart people. But I will hit on that when we get to Greenville. And if anyone wants any more information, it's one of my favorite topics to talk about. So ring me up and I'll drop what I'm doing and I'll spout about that.
Okay, so Google Ads are, so we've got to have our Google Business Profile optimized. We need to look at Apple and Maps. And does the Android phones, I haven't had an Android phone in like 100 years. They run on
the Google
Maps?
It would be Google.
So you're using Google Maps or using Apple Maps, and you need to optimize both of those. You need to be looking at Google Ads, and you need to be realistic about how you're approaching that. And so I would say what I have started saying to my manager friends is, I think for a lot of us, we think about it not dissimilarly to Yelp. There's not the hatred for Google Ads as there is for Yelp, but a lot of us have tried it and have had no success because we had no idea what we were doing. And we're like, I'm not going to touch that again because I just burned that money, right? But we've got to do Google Ads. Okay, what's the next tip?
Okay, so let me just clarify. I don't want anyone advertising on Yelp. I haven't had success there, but you need to be active.
Google
there.
Reviews, so yes. Okay.
Folks out there, my Yelp friends, reviews. I'd want to make it a product. I can't make it work. And if somebody can, well, then God bless them. But I can tell you in the end, it doesn't convert well. Okay, I got two more things.
Okay.
First, with the importance of reviews, whether they be through Yelp, like I just said, or through GBP, uh-huh. and the transient nature of today's people, we need to focus on the client experience. Okay? And I talk about the word remarkable and how every single team member needs to know what's out there, and meaning the potential, the growth that happens through positive reviews and a positive experience. It should be something that's talked about during your meetings in the practice so that you have the ability to celebrate those things and realize that we all grow if the reputation is good. Now, it hits both on the pet owner side and on the employee side. Like, nobody wants to work at the one-star practice.
Right.
Nobody wants to show up at their state VMA and go, hey, Steph, I saw you left ABC Animal Hospital. Where'd you go? Oh, I went to XYZ. I don't know anything about it, but people say it's dirty.
It's got a bad,
and
yeah,
people
got a bad
are
reputation.
Rude.
Yeah.
So if you're going to attract the brilliance that is folks like Steph, you got to have a good reputation. Okay. Lastly, this is something I'm super proud of. Like I said, over the
years.
Okay,
wait. Before you go on, so you're moving on to your last tip, because I want to talk about the reviews for a second.
Oh, sure. I wouldn't.
Okay. So question for you. So, because I love how you just talked about celebrating the reviews and using them within the practice. And I think that that was one of the best things that I tried with my team, because one of the benefits, I will say, of my last practice was a corporate practice, and they used a program that compiled all of our reviews from all the different places, and we got it spit out in a report, and it was great. And I was like, what do I do with this? And the team is so used to hearing about the clients who came in the lobby and screamed at the CSRs, or the client who was rude in the exam room who's now getting fired or whatever. And I really wanted to focus on the positive. And so I started taking those reviews and we started reading them out loud at our team meetings and recognizing the team members when somebody gets called out. Because I think it takes a lot. We all know it takes a lot for a client to leave a review anyways, just to start. When we get clients who make it personal and say, you know, Caitlin was the best. She was so great with, you know, Fluffy, and she just loved on her like she was her own. That means something. And the team doesn't often see that unless we help put it in front of their faces. And so as a manager, I would say I learned to love the reviews by actually reading them. And instead of turning it into even the negative reviews or the reviews that had feedback that we weren't so excited to hear, became a learning opportunity to say, okay, what could be valid here and what could we learn from it? Not, hey, Dr. A, this client called you out, like you need to fix this situation, because I've been in practices where that has been the way that it's handled, right? Is like, here's a client complaint, deal with it. But how do we turn those into celebrations for the team and also learning opportunities? And so I love that you called out like making it a part of the practice some way, somehow, so that the whole team is aware of it, because then it makes it easier for them to say to the clients who are just at the front desk and say, I just love you guys so much. You're so, so fantastic. It becomes more natural and easy for them to say, oh, thank you so much for saying that. We really love hearing that. If you have a second, we would really appreciate it if you would share that on our Google business page. You know, leave us a review. That becomes easier, because I think that has been the hardest thing for my teams to get on board with, is how do we ask clients to leave reviews? You know, how do we push that without seeming salesy or unnatural, you know, because nobody on a veterinary team wants to be salesy.
You know, I think there's an element, there's a couple of things here. So the first is accountability. It is when you're celebrating those things and you're talking about the positive and the negatives, people automatically become responsible for their actions, because, hey, I might hear about this. You know, I can't be abrasive. You know, I've got to be on my game or I shouldn't be in the practice. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we all have bad days. I understand what it is. And we're going to get those unreasonable clients that are going to give the inaccurate review.
Yes.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the caustic person that needs to control themselves or be a professional. So you've got that. And then you've got the benefit that comes off of celebrating the positive. So if we're talking about combating compassion fatigue, or all of the wellness type issues that we should be focusing on, reviews can really help when that's a bright space as we start our day or we start our meeting and we've got somebody stand up. And I mean, I could tell you tons of stories, as could everyone in practice, of the tear-provoking moments that are brought on by the way that we can impact people's lives. So there are those things. And so you mentioned how to get the reviews. And you know what I like to do? I like to listen to people speak. And then I like to say something along the lines of, wow, I really like working with you. And I'd like to work with more people just like you.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I really would. I'd like to meet more Stephanies in the world and Stephanie's families. This is why I became a veterinarian. And this is exactly why, like, you all in this room are my people. Would you mind leaving us a review? Because I think that, and I don't care what you say,
right?
But I really use your words that will attract people like you.
Right.
And so you've got that. And then there's something else that isn't done. And I'm just going to ask you a question.
Okay.
When's the last time that you've left a review? And everybody out there in the world, think about the last time you left a review.
Uh-huh.
And then think about the last time that a business owner, or that business owner, called you and thanked you for the review. Think about it.
Okay.
It's never happened.
No.
It's never happened unless you come to my lectures.
Yeah.
Because, like, And I know, don't roll your eyes. I know some of you have probably jumped off the treadmill at this point, thinking that I have actually lost my mind and thinking that you've got enough time to be calling. I haven't lost my mind. What I'm talking about is exactly this. For every 5-star review that you've got and every 1-star review, if you care to do it for all your reviews, you call and say, hey, this is, you know, Dr. Reynolds calling. I literally just read your review online and I had to shut my door because you touched me. And I really appreciate what you did. I value your comments and I just wanted to say thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's how you leave a voicemail. Now, if they pick up the phone, maybe you want to say, hey, I'm surprised you picked up the phone and I was expecting your voicemail. I'm about to walk into an appointment. That's how you start the call. So you're not trapped for 15 minutes.
Right.
And you say, hey, but I just read your review. And then you go through that. Before I step in, I wanted to stop everything and call you and say thank you. And the reason you're doing that is because that could be the only signal that you're putting out there that you've actually valued it.
Yeah.
Now, like, responding is fine, but unless you're going to get in depth and they're going to go back and read it, if you want more reviews, especially from that family, please let them know. And then the same is true on the other side. You know, if you've got a bad review, I would call them.
Yes.
And in part of the resolution, if you are able to get to that point offline, you're stopping the conversation that people can read online.
Right.
And then you're taking behind closed doors. Hopefully you can come to some sort of resolution and, you know, you can get to the place where you could go, can I ask you to take the review down? Did we satisfy that?
Right.
You know, so, and the last thing on reviews, unless you've got further questions or comments, I need you to need the mark to know that 82% of all reviews, this is not veterinary related. Okay. This is all small business reviews.
Sure.
82% only come after an ask for such.
So you got to be
asking. So if you're not asking,
you're not getting. Okay, what's the last tip?
The last tip is something I've built up to for decades, literally. And it's just dawning on me, actually, Steph, that this is intertwined. This was not intended to be a reputation management, like, talk.
I
promise you it wasn't. But it shows you how much it intertwines. There is someone that's out there that is listening. If they're part of a community that I've known for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And she called me, and this is about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She calls me and she goes, hey, do you have time to talk? You know, glass, you might as well get a bottle of wine because I need to talk.
Right.
And so we had a bottle of wine over the phone. And in the course of the conversation, she's like, I think I'm done. And it was all about a review and how she just got like slayed. And she did. She got slayed. It was inappropriate. Uh-huh. She's a wonderful veterinarian. Many of you know this person. Uh-huh. And this person was done, you know, truly done.
Yeah, where they were, sure, like, sure.
I'm selling my practice. And it was not during the high point of practice sale for people were, you know, going at 18 times. This was like, I'm leaving veterinary medicine. And I spoke with her and I was like, you perform such wonderful, you know, medicine. You're a beautiful person that is helping all these other people, right? And I wish I had a way to show you whether or not your business is working well. Like the negative review that you've got is like too, like you dropped one little bit on the big scale. We need to take a look at all the other factors that go into your business and give you credit for that and be able to look at it. So I always envisioned this as being like this health score, and that's what we call it. And it's, I have this vision of like a thermometer, right? And being able to show where you're at and say, hey, this sucks, right? And I know I'm, you know, we're crying together right now because I can hear how exhausted you are. This too will pass, and it should not overshadow the brilliance, the genius that you have in practice. So this last tip deals with data. It's understanding your market, knowing what data points are most important within the market, okay? And then being able to look at a health score for the practice. And if you want, this is a proprietary tool that we have that I'm happy to share with everyone in the audience. So if you want to give me a call, and we could share contact information at the end here, or reach out to me, come see me speak in Greenville. But it's a way to look at your practice in the market and score it against other practices that are of the same sort. And then ultimately there is scoring that puts up that says you're doing a good job. And sometimes it's like golf, like, and let me use an exaggerated situation here. If you weren't looking at all the other practices in the space with the data points that were really important and you weren't comparing yourself, it would be like going out and golfing by yourself and, you know, shooting 200 one year and consistently hitting 200. Next year, you drop, you know, I don't know, 50 strokes off of your game and you think that you're ready for the PGA because you're not paying attention to everybody else.
Right.
The great golfers are, you know, in their 70s.
Right.
You know, so you're still like,
Bar.
Right. So, I mean, it's the realization and the comparativeness that that we can provide, but data is super duper important. And with the availability of data that we've compiled over the last 30 years through AI's impact in the space and these listening posts that I talked about earlier in our chat, we can literally show you how you compare to other people. And to the point that I made earlier about the decline in appointment inventory or decline in intent that's out there, you're 7 points up on where you, on what the rest of the market of practices that look like yours is doing, you're winning the game. So that, and pay attention to your data, make sure it's right, and make decisions that are data driven, just like the scientists that you are.
And I love that because the people who know me, I'm a huge data nerd. I love spreadsheets. I love numbers. I love to geek out. And for years as a manager, the only way to have a pulse check was to talk to other managers and say, hey, how's it going? How are you doing this? And try and figure out some sort of comparison, right? Like, we had the AHA numbers for financials, like what you're charging for things and staff salaries and stuff like that. There was industry data between AHA and well-managed practice. Like, we got some data there, but that was really all that was out there for a really long time. And I remember that's a big part, honestly, that's a big part of why building a community for me of manager colleagues was really important, because I had the ability to pulse check some of those other things against my peers. And I love the advancements that have happened over the last 10 years, but really have flown since COVID. You know, this is one of those areas where I think it's very positive change for us in terms of integrating AI into veterinary medicine is the ability to be able to connect and network and pulse check in that way. And to your point, be able to pulse check against similar practices, because it does you no good to be that golfer who's out there golfing alone and thinks that they're ready for the PGA. It also does you no good to be looking at practices that are completely different than yours. You know, a 10 doctor practice compared to your two, or our ER compared to your GP. Like, those things are different animals, and we have to look at it. It's the same thing we tell clients about, you know, trying to explain a dental estimate to them. You have to compare apples to apples. And so, you know, yes, somebody else down the street might have given a $100 dental estimate and you gave them a $700 dental estimate. Well, the first question that I ask the clients is, what is included in that? You know, estimate in that treatment plan. And I think it's the same here. And so I love the advancements that we've made. I love what you guys are working on in particular and getting super nerdy. There's options out there for all different aspects of comparing practice data. But what I love about this piece of it, Bill, and what you are doing in terms of the marketing aspect is, I think for the average manager and or practice owner, practice leader, I know every CE I went to, the conversation was, you need to pay attention to the reviews because, and this makes sense, you're getting real-time feedback from your clients. And it is a pulse check for you on how it's customer service, on your prices, on the experience in your practice, all of those things, like your team, you're getting real-time data from your clients and you're getting the feedback. And we as a society have been conditioned to leave reviews when things don't go so well. And so we know that clients tend to, on their own, leave reviews when things have been not so great as compared to when it has been great. And we have to change that behavior by asking them to leave positive reviews for us. But I think that for the average manager, we were taught to look at the reviews from the perspective, not so much of the data, but like that was our pulse check. And I think to your point, if that's the only piece that you're looking at, it's really easy to get lost in the weeds focused on that one negative review, because here's someone who's giving you real-time feedback and it feels like the end of the world sometimes. I mean, I've talked to manager friends who are just unhinged over a review, and I'm like, same reaction as you. So what? Like, look at the 100 other clients that you helped today who left you and who were happy with how the day went. But that's not the volume of what we generally get unless we're actively trying to seek those kind of reviews online. And so I think it's really, really easy to slide down that rabbit hole of negativity. And so I love the pivot that you guys have made and the focus that you're leading the industry in terms of getting us to look at the bigger picture and not just focus on that negative pulse point. And so I hope we start to see more data and more nerdiness, not because I want you guys to have competition here, but because it's good for us. It's healthy for us as an industry to start to think about things like a business. Like, yes, we are a healthcare provider. Yes, we provide a service. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be scientists. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be data-driven. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't run our businesses like a business.
Our account managers are so excited about these advancements. And, you know, there's two other examples. Like, you know, we know that, like, particularly like a new practice, a de novo practice that comes out, you know, the race is to get as many reviews as you possibly can. And, you know, before like AI and all this data and looking at this data and this tool that I'm talking about, it used to be, you know, stuff you'd call, talk to an account manager and it'd be like, okay, let's get as many 5-star reviews as we can. And you go, well, I'm breaking into this market where the leader in the market has 300 reviews and, you know, a 4.85 rating. How many reviews do you need? And they'd be like, okay, don't worry about that. Just get as many as you possibly can. Right. We can set up campaigns where we're literally saying it's going to take you, you know, 500 reviews to get to this space to win this market. So what are we going to do to get the 500 reviews? And it becomes a campaign and a goal. Furthermore, when we're talking about like Google Ads, to go back there, we built this way, this line of this frame of mind that is, and I'm happy to share this with you all, that it's like, we can look at markets and look at individual households, zip codes, not individual households, but individual zip codes in the households within, and say, this is what the actual spend is on dogs within that market, right? Within that zip code.
Sure.
And then we can take that data and look at how much you're capturing by running data through your PIM. And then say, well, look, you've got, based upon the market and what we know of the market, you've got about, I don't know, 60% of that market that's available out there. Let's leave that alone and not spend any Google ad money over there and let that go. And let's go over here, a desirable market, not because everybody's driving a Mercedes, which we know can be so flippin' dangerous, you know, about just targeting based upon where we think the money is. But but there's an opportunity and you're only capturing 5% of that market. So let's go out there and focus on that. And making decisions like that is the difference between marketing and just spending money out there. And real marketing that works is not easy. It takes work on both people's part and some experience and things like that. And those practices and that do it, they succeed.
And I think that's the hard part for your average practice is that we experience that we're just spending money because we know it's a thing that we should be doing and it is hard. And so I think I'm excited to see more and more of the, I mean, part of it has been my work with Uncharted because we started as, you know, a marketing and social media conference and being exposed to it. And part of it is just an awareness and a growth within the industry that, hey, this is something that we should be paying attention to. And not only that, but like, here's how you pay attention to it. So I love that. That is a great tip. That's a great place to end us on, Bill. I love it so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. This has been super fun. I hope that your top three.
My top three.
I'm holding up my five fingers. Bill's top three tips for things that we have to be doing so that we keep clients in the door. I hope that that is helpful for everyone. I certainly think that it was from a practice perspective, and I was taking notes. So.
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity. I love working with your group. You know, sometimes it just clicks, right? Where it's like, you know, I've done this for so long. We're very fortunate that we get to choose the people that we work with, and we're fortunate to be able to choose to work with y'all. And I love every moment of it. I can't wait for Greenville. For those of you who haven't seen me speak before, we're going to have some fun. I'm doing a workshop teaching it twice. So there should be enough time for everybody to come through if they like to learn about all the current things that are going on. It's going to be workshop style.
And I'm gonna fluff your pillows for a second here, Bill. Andy always fluffs my pillows on the podcast. I'm gonna fluff your pillows because you said in the beginning you gave yourself a shameless plug and I love it so much. You are gonna be at the conference and you said something completely unrelated, which is absolutely true. One of the things that I love about going to your workshops in particular, but your lectures is that I have never left one without feeling like I had a tangible resource or an action-oriented plan and the resources or materials to support it. That's one of the things I love about going to your sessions. There are a few speakers in our industry who just consistently not only talk about the big picture and the important things that you should know, also make it really practical and like, here's how to do the thing. And so if you are someone who is like, I would really love to learn more about how to do those things that Bill was talking about on the podcast today, I think it is completely okay to give a shameless plug that you should join us. You should join us in Greenville for our April conference because it is it is an opportunity to dive into an extended workshop with you, not just like a 50-minute lecture at a conference, and really walk away with some actionable tools. And so that is something that I appreciate about you as a speaker, Bill. And I just, you know, high five, two thumbs up, 5-star review for you.
That's so kind. I mean, that's my why.
Yeah.
Like you hit. Thank you. So that was such a great compliment, because that's exactly why I do this. I started lecturing years and years and years ago, like over 20 years ago, because I walked out of a marketing lecture at a major veterinary conference. And I go, but now what? You just told me these things. Like,
yes.
But wait a second. Why aren't we like telling these people how to do this stuff?
Yes.
And so thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And that's
part of why we love having you at Uncharted, and why I love how different our format is. Not that I love going to the big conferences and the small conferences in our industry. And that's something as manager that I always struggled with. And it's my why too for working with Uncharted and in our community, because then what? What do I do now? Like, I get excited about these things, but then what do I do with it when I get back to my practice? How do I make it applicable? How do I dive in? And so I think that is, like you said, that is the highest compliment that someone like you or I can get, is I actually can, I know what to do with these things in my practice. Or even if I still am not sure exactly how to do it, I have the tangible things to get me started, and I know where to come back when I need more help. And that's what the community and the conferences are all about. So I can't wait to see your face. I'm going to get to see you so soon in Greenville. And thank you again for being here today. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you, everyone. I hope you're all well out there. Thanks for spending some of your time with me today. And I appreciate each and every one.
Take care, everybody. Have a great rest of your week.
See ya.
And that's a wrap on another episode of the Uncharted Podcast. Thanks for joining us and spending your week with us. If you enjoyed this week's episode, head over to wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review. It's the best way to let us know that you love listening. We'll see you next time.